Looking for a great math program? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective by using creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Here's a great testimonial from Lori, one of the many listeners of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. She said, "One day, my 10-year-old was in tears over math. I tried my best to help, but ended up in tears as well. We prayed together, and that very night, I received an email offer for CTC Math. The following Monday, we reviewed the curriculum together. She was willing to give it a shot, and we have never looked back." Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. We are back with Cindy Rollins. And if you missed the first part of our episode on Monday, go back and listen. You are going to be so encouraged. We're talking about Charlotte Mason and who she was and about, you know, her method of homeschooling and education. And we're talking about developing lifelong habits, how we can do that as moms and how we can encourage our children to do that as well. And so I want to kind of dig into a couple of things. And these are things that we've talked a lot about on the podcast, but I love hearing it from new guests that we haven't had on before. And you were talking in the last episode about morning time, and you've got 9 kids, 8 boys and 1 girl. I don't know if you said that in the last podcast, but that's...
I think I did.
Did you? Okay. That's a lot of testosterone in one house.
It definitely was. They had a lot of testosterone. I don't even know. Now looking back, I think, how did we get through that? I don't
know. How did your daughter get through that? That is my question.
I was rough on my daughter, if I'm honest. It wasn't the easiest thing for her. Some things we didn't realize were hard on her at the time. But, and her being a female with more emotions, that kind of... it got pushed to the wayside in some ways. And
sure,
everybody, you know, but we didn't see that at the time. There's a lot of things we missed, but God is good. And he hopefully he can redeem those mistakes.
Yeah.
Well, not hopefully, he can redeem those.
Yes, absolutely. He can. You know, it's interesting. My husband comes from a family of all boys and from generations of all boys, actually. He's the oldest of 3 boys. And so when he found out we were having a girl, or when our first daughter was coming, he was like, what do we do with that? And it's been really neat to kind of watch him just navigate through the teen years with her, because he's not an emotional person and he's a very manly man. And so, you know, to all of a sudden have this 14-year-old daughter, you know, from the time she was probably 10 or 11 and all those hormones start raging and she's, you know, just becoming more weepy about things. And, you know, and he was like, what is happening? And I said, she's a girl. It's okay. and he's such a great father of girls, especially for never having had sisters.
Right.
But it really is. I mean, they're, you know, God made boys and girls differently. Imagine that.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Very, very strange. So, yeah, well, I bet she will. I don't know if she's married yet, your daughter, but
she is married.
She is. Okay.
She's married,
So she probably really gets men.
Yes. I was like, she has no illusions about men. Right. she really understood a lot of that. And I look at my sons now that have daughters. One of my sons has 2 daughters and one has one, just only daughters. Mm-hmm. And it's just like your husband. It's so fun to watch them with these girls.
Yes.
It's really precious.
Yes. One of these days soon, I actually have it on my list. We've done podcasts on homeschooling boys and we haven't done one on homeschooling girls. I don't know why. And I thought, well, that's kind of silly. I have girls. I should probably do one on homeschooling girls. So it's on my list. We're getting there.
I think moms kind of panic when they have boys because they're female. The boys are male. But, you know, girls bring just as many problems or, you know, complications as boys, but we at least have some handle on where they're coming from.
Yes, that's exactly true. I love it though. I love being a mama to girls. I'd love to have boys too, but I love being a girl mom.
Sure.
So in the last episode, you talked about morning time and how you really used that to develop some habits in your homeschool because you had 9 kids at home and you needed that. You needed that structure and that habit of morning time. What did your morning time consist of? What did that look like for your family?
Well, when we first started, it just was a very simple little morning time. We did a Bible verse from Awana. But as time went on, it kind of grew because it was a very healthy time for us. And it really, in the end, I look back and I said, whoo, that saved us, because there was a lot of chaos the rest of the day. But we would sing hymns. Mm-hmm. I'm very big now. That is one of the things when people ask me, what is something you shouldn't leave out of morning time? And I think singing together as a family, whether it's hymns or folk songs or whatever, singing together as a family is one of those things that glue a family together. And it's like a magical thing that happens, even if you sing terribly. Sometimes we sang well. We had a couple kids where we sang well, and then they grew up and went away, and then we sang terrible. But I sing terrible. But still, there is something about singing together that is so important for families. So we would sing, and then we would read the Bible, memorize some Bible passages. I'm big on poetry. I think poetry is talking about the habit of attention. A couple of things that help with the habit of attention are art, nature, and poetry. Mm-hmm. When you're reading a poem, you really have to pay attention to get it.
Yep.
A lot of times you don't get it the first time around, but poetry is one of those things that people shy away from, and yet it is one of the key elements of developing the idea of attention, which is so important to learning. So in our morning time, so then we would end the day with reading aloud. And I might read aloud from a couple of books, maybe a science book that was very narrative, maybe a history book. And then we would end the day, the morning time, on, some fun book that we were reading, a chapter book that we all enjoy, like Little House on the Prairie or, The Wee Free Men by Terry Pratchett, or just some fun book that we all enjoyed, and everybody be like, we'd leave on a positive note.
Yeah. Yep. I love that. I love having a specific book. And that's actually very similar to what our morning time looks like. We call it morning basket, but sometimes that happens at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
and it works for us. But we do a very similar, very similar to how you do it. We're reading through Fallacy Detective. I totally lost the.
Oh, right. Right.
So that's what, and it's so funny. I mean, even my 10-year-old is picking up on it, and and I'd never been through Fallacy Detective before, but we're reading through that. And then right now we're reading The Patriot's Daughter by Cameron Green, and it's such a good book. I don't know if you're familiar with, with Rick Green from Patriot Academy and Wall Builders Live. His daughter Cameron wrote a book called The Patriot's Daughter, and it's excellent. She wrote it. I mean, she just turned 20, and I think she started writing it when she was like 15. Mm-hmm. And it's a good book. My girls and I are all really enjoying it. So I'll put links to those in the show notes as well. But it's so fun. I love reading books together with my girls because it really gives you a connection. Just like you were saying, singing connects a family in a particular way, and reading books together connects us in a different way than that. Because then you share that experience with one another. And it's so much fun. I love, love, love. Even my 15-year-old, she's almost 15. She loves it when I read to her still. And I think because we started it at such a young age that, she can read on her own, but she likes it when I read to her.
No, I don't think reading aloud ever has to, a child doesn't necessarily have to grow out of it. It's still a very important part of high school. Even if mom reads aloud the Iliad and the Odyssey to the kids, maybe it's new to her, new to them. It gives you a common, that common culture that will not go away. One of the things I say in my book is we'll always have Narnia, even when our family isn't healthy. We all know who Cuddle Glum is, or who Aslan is, or what it means to be Edmund or Lucy.
Right. And,
that's a very important part of the culture of a family.
Absolutely. You talked about your kids doing written narration in the last episode. Did you have them do written narration from what you were reading to them, or from their own personal reading time?
Mostly they could choose. Sometimes I chose for them. So if they wanted to do something we had read aloud in morning time, they were free to do that. Sometimes they would get in rut and always do the same book. I had a child who liked to rewrite a whole book by narrating it. Usually I liked him to switch it up a little bit. So each day they were paying Narration is one of those habits of attention, because when you're reading, you're paying attention because you know you're going to write out mm-hmm. what happened. And a narration isn't like a questionnaire. It isn't what do you feel about this? It's just like, it is just what was in the chapter. What did the chapter say mm-hmm. in your own words?
Yeah.
And so that develops what we've been talking about, this habit of attention.
When you did narration, when they did their written narration, did you use that as, I mean, obviously it's to know that they understood and comprehended whatever mm-hmm. it was that they were reading, or maybe what was being read to them. But did you use that to correct spelling and grammar and things like that as well?
I used it as a guide to myself to know where the spelling and grammar problems were. And then that helped me to know what I needed to present to them. But I did not critique the narration in that way.
Okay.
I might say, no, now don't tell me your opinion. Like sometimes they'll start the narration, I like this book. You know, that's not part of a narration. That's a right. book report.
Right.
That's something else.
Right, right.
But the narration, I might say, hey, don't do that. But I never critiqued. I tried not to. You shouldn't. I maybe sometimes did. Sometimes mom is so appalled that they spelled was wrong. It's like, what? This is an easy word that she can't help saying something. But it's better if you just take that information and use it for later.
Okay. Okay. That's good to know. I've actually not had my girls do much written narration. They've done a little bit, but not much of it. And so I remember you talking about that in Mere Motherhood as well. And it was one of those things that I was like, okay, we need to implement this. But like so many things, you know, we need to implement these things into our homeschool. And it doesn't always turn out that way. So let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
Do you love books, but sometimes feel overwhelmed at the sheer volume of titles that are out there? It's impossible to read everything. It's even impossible to keep up with what's coming out on any given week. There are so many publishers, genres, authors, and titles. Even good-sized bookstores can hardly keep up. So how do you know what's actually worth checking out? That's where Forma, a digital and print journal published by the Searcy Institute, comes in handy. Each week, they provide reviews of a carefully curated selection of new books, many of them lesser known but important titles from lesser known but important publishers. They'll suggest titles you won't want to miss, and sometimes they'll provide unique perspectives on books everyone is already reading. So if you'd like some help pointing you in the right literary direction, head over to formajournal.com for both free and subscriber content. You can even have weekly reviews delivered to your inbox. Again, visit formajournal.com. We are back with Cindy, and we're talking about morning time and narration. You keep touching on the topic of attention and the power of attention and how we can get our kids to pay attention and the importance of kind of zeroing in on teaching them to pay attention to things. Why is that so important?
Well, the truth of the matter is we only learn what we pay attention to. I mean, if you across the board, if you're not paying attention, you're not going to learn. That's why often a teacher will teach with enthusiasm and will learn as she's teaching because she's paying attention, whereas the student is not learning. And a lot of times we get that mixed up. Homeschoolers do not have to get this mixed up because we don't have to have this setup where the teacher teaches and the child doesn't learn. That is what goes on in so many classes. But we need to set it up so that we're giving the child living material, so there's a reason to pay attention, not just fun or I like it. I'm not talking about that. The mind feeds on ideas, Charlotte Mason said. So if we're giving our children meaty ideas and we're not weighing it down with verbiage and lectures and all these boring things, then their mind is going to take these ideas. But a couple, I mentioned a few minutes ago, a couple areas that are really good for developing the habit of attention. And one is art or drawing. Mm-hmm. One is nature study, and that includes art and drawing. A lot of times when we do nature study, we can draw what we see in nature, either a landscape or an item. And the other, of course, is written narrations. But interestingly enough, I was reading a book by a lady. I was reading a book actually by Stratford Caldecott called Beauty in the Word. And he mentions the fact that Simone Weil, a French philosopher, mentioned the fact she was, I think she died in maybe the 1950s, but she said the reason we want to our children to develop the habit of attention is because that is what prayer is. Hmm. When we pray, we are giving our attention to something, and that is God. And the implications of what happens in a culture where people don't give their attention to anything, what happens in a culture where we're distracted every moment of time, mm-hmm. we need the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. When do we ever stop and look up and turn to God? And so as we develop the habit of attention in our children, we are also really, in a side way, helping them eventually to develop a relationship with God and have the inward ability to stop and listen to God.
Wow. I have never thought about that before. That's really powerful. So you're saying that some of the ways that we can teach our kids to focus on attention and to learn how to really pay attention to things, because this is something that I struggle with myself, and one of my daughters does as well. Mm-hmm. Is I am a daydreamer, and so is she. I always have a million things going through my mind, and I'm a very visual person. So not only do I always have a million things going through my mind, but I always have a picture in my mind of something. I never, ever, ever have a blank slate in my mind. Like, I'm always picturing something or thinking about something. And so that causes a lot of problems with me, because it was something, you know, I mean, I don't blame it on anybody, but growing up, I never really learned how to pay attention. And it has, it caused a lot of problems with me as a child with comprehension, because I would open up a book that I was really enjoying and right. I would start to read it. And then, you know, it would mention the park or something. Right. And all of a sudden, there goes my mind. And I'm thinking about, you know, oh, the day at the park that I had with my friends, or, you know, whatever the case might be. And so I'm really trying to teach my daughter how to pay attention, how to just really focus all of her mind on something at the mm-hmm. time that it needs to be focused. And so it's interesting that you talk about art, because she is a fantastic artist. She loves art and painting, but I had never put those two together, that mm-hmm. doing art and, you know, nature and things like that could really help hone in on the ability of attention.
One thing Charlotte Mason says I think is helpful here is that she starts out very young children with very short lessons. So she doesn't let them develop the habit of inattention, which often we give these really long lessons and all we're doing is training our children to do what you just said, mm-hmm. tune out, get in their head. But if they know that the lesson is short and it's going to end, then they can give it their full attention because mm-hmm. they know it's not going to be interminably long and mom's never going to stop talking. So even with their math and stuff, you'll mm-hmm. find that children pay way more attention if they know there's an end point. Hey, let's give this our full attention for 15 minutes. Maybe we're going to have to do that a couple times a day because, you know, but as they get older, we can lengthen those short lessons out longer and longer and longer. But all of us have kind of an endpoint to how much we pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And so if we pay attention, so we want to make sure we're not training our children to tune us out mm-hmm. And that is that there's a lot of implications for that, because kids hear mom all the time. Mom, eventually it becomes, they tune mom out.
Yeah.
But we can still homeschool, even though they tuned us out, because we can bring in those good books and those good things that are, that become a moral voice to our children after we've kind of lost our moral voice in their head. You know, yeah, mom, I know, I'm supposed to brush my teeth.
Right.
Yeah.
So interesting. I love talking about these, and I love learning new things. Like, I mean, these are just things that I never had put together, like I said. So these are fantastic. We're out of time. Will you come back tomorrow? Because I have some more things that I want to talk about. So can you hang on with me for a little bit?
Yeah.
And we'll be back tomorrow. Okay. We will be back again tomorrow and finish this conversation. You guys, thank you so much for listening. I am so grateful for you. We pray for you guys, our listeners, all the time. And we are thankful for your encouragement and all that you do to help support the Schoolhouse Rocked ministry. You know, we sent out a newsletter not that long ago and just said we were never meant to do this alone, and we haven't. And so we are so grateful for those of you who have come alongside us and continue to support us financially, encourage us through your emails and your notes and your messages and reviews on the podcast. If you have not yet signed up for our newsletter, please go to the website and do that. We don't send them out very often, maybe once every few weeks. We'll get those out. We would love to do it more often, but we don't have we don't have the time or the manpower to do that. And so we are working to get the podcast out and the movie out. But we would love it if you would sign up for the newsletter. Go to schoolhouserocked.com and you'll see a button on there where you can sign up. So Cindy, thank you for joining us today. Again, we will be back tomorrow, and we will link to all things Cindy Rollins in the show notes so you can find out more about her. Thank you guys. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive, Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.